You're listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, go to nakedbiblepodcast.com and click on the support link in the upper right-hand corner. If you're new to the podcast and Dr. Heiser's approach to the Bible, click on New Start Here at nakedbiblepodcast.com.
Welcome to the Naked Bible Podcast, episode 200. I'm the layman, Trey Strickland, and he's the scholar, Dr. Michael Heiser. Here we are, Mike. 200. Can you believe it?
Should I be honest? Not really. But it's, here we are, nevertheless.
Yeah. Seems like we were just at 100, and here we are at 200. It's amazing how time does not stop, I tell you.
Yeah. No, that's what I was thinking. You know, like, how in the world? We were just at 100. What are we doing here, you know?
Yeah, and I keep thinking, you know, I'm going to add cute sound effects and do all kinds of cute things for our 200, and, you know, it just sneaks up on you and,
you know, I can record Maury like snarling, or, you know, he does do that. Yeah. He tries to act ferocious. We could do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know
if I say something you don't like, and then we can just put the snarl in there.
There you go. Yeah. We need to come up with something, but I mean, again, we haven't missed a weekend yet. So, hats off to you, sir. We, keep cranking them out. So we appreciate everybody. Yeah, well,
we've been close a couple times, but it's come together. So.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody still listening to us. So,
and yeah, that's probably the greater achievement right there. That, you know, but it needs the lion's share of attention. The people who actually listened and they stuck with us.
Yeah, that's kind of our theme. We again thought it would be good to interview people who use the content. I mean, this podcast represents three continents. You know, we're going to hear from groups and people all over the Middle East, you know, Africa and Europe and just everywhere. And it's crazy.
Middle East, Africa, and more specifically in Europe, Albania. I mean, who in the world thought, you know, that did we ever sit down and have a conversation, Trey, like, boy, we need to do this podcast because people in Albania are going to be listening. You know, we just get people all over the world, but the Albanian group is pretty special. And we're going to get into why in this episode.
Absolutely. Without further ado, Mike, let's just get into these interviews.
Okay. Well, we have with us Charlie Curtis, and I'm going to let Charlie introduce himself in a moment, but he has a connection, of course, to our content, the book Supernatural, Unseen Realm, the podcast, and whatnot. And Charlie does ministry in Tanzania. And one of the translation projects for Supernatural has been in the language of Swahili, with a translator on that end in Tanzania. But he and Beth have gone over to Tanzania and done ministry there, teaching the content. So that's the connection to us and to the show. We wanted to have him on just to describe what it is happening over there. You know, the reception of the content, you know, how it's affecting people, what he does in terms of ministry, that sort of thing. So, Charlie, go ahead and introduce yourself, and we'll chat about what you do.
Again, this I'm Charles Curtis. I'm been involved with our team from our local church that had started a relationship with a church in Africa in 2009. We had someone who was really big into missions in our church was asked to go to Africa to check out what was going on. There was a minister that had contacted our pastor and told us that, you know, we needed to look into that. So he went on his own in 2009 and was amazed at what he saw and came back and suggested that our church organize a mission trip there. Which we did. We did about 20 people from our church went out in the summer of 2010, and since then we've gone every year since then. I think there was only one year where I think we brought some folks from there over here, but we've developed a very close relationship with the people there that we're working with in Tanzania, and in particular our work there is in partnership with a church in the Kilimanjaro region, The name of that church is PEFA, and forgive me if I don't say it completely right, but it's the Pentecostal Evangelical Fellowship of Africa. And the pastor in that particular church is Eliette Mbise. And together, our church and Eliette have both done coordinated lots of ministry towards orphans and widows in the Kilimanjaro region. And beginning in 2013, we began work on a church plant in a Muslim village on the east coast of Tanzania, a region called Tanga, just outside of Tanga City. And the name of the village is Maswani Shamba. And that church has been completed. And right now, from the emails that we've been receiving, the church has been providing lots of ministry and care in that community for the past couple of years now, and is beginning to grow. In addition to that, beginning in 2013, Eliette had told us that there was a hunger to know more, to learn more. And was there any possibility that teachers could come to Tanzania and provide education or teach biblical teaching to pastors in both the Kilimanjaro region and eventually it was in the Tonga region as well? We started that in 2013, and initially our pastor was supposed to head that up. And unfortunately, he was battling illness at that time and couldn't go, and had asked if I would take his place. And that was in 2013, and we did the conference on the differences between Islam and Christianity. And we had about, between 80 and 100 pastors in attendance in both locations. And these pastors, just for a little background, they come from very remote areas. The one thing I have learned about the people of Tanzania, particularly within the church, is their hunger to know more about the Bible is like nothing else I've ever seen. And they will hitch a ride, spend the night, you know, wherever they can find a place to lay their head on very long travels to get to these conferences. So it's a little daunting whenever you get out there to know that, and hope that you pray that you do a good job. And but the conferences in 2013 were very successful, and they called us back. And in 2015, we did a conference in both locations over the kingdom of God, and it was really driven mainly by Dallas Willard's Divine Conspiracy. And in 2016, we revived the first conference on the distinctions between Christianity and Islam. And again, I think all three of them were relatively the same attendance, pretty successful as far as the desire for materials. Everybody, when you go out there, they want to have your slides, they want to have references, whatever they can get their hands on. Mm-hmm. So this year, the need is always driven by the folks in Tanzania, and we've been asked to go out there and really handle two requests. One is that when Beth went out and introduced the concept of the Deuteronomy 32 worldview, or the Divine Council worldview, their interest was piqued, to say the least. And now with of course the book has been translated in Swahili and it's available to them to read, they want to know more about it. But they're also wanting a practical aspect. How do we take the Deuteronomy 32 worldview and apply it in our churches, our specific mm-hmm. churches? And in particular, one of the things that they specifically said is, we want to know more about how to grow our churches deeper rather than bigger. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a lot of harmony between the Deuteronomy 32 worldview, you know, in the kingdom worldview, like the one we did in 15 with Willard's book. And I think that right now what we're working on is putting together the slides and looking at going out in June to present it in two locations again, the Kilimanjaro region and also in Tonga.
Now, when Beth went out, were you along with Beth, or did she do that herself?
last year, Beth went out there. I didn't go. I've gone to Africa 3 times with her, but last year I did not go.
Okay. Yeah, I know from corresponding, you know, and chatting with her on the phone that there seemed to be maybe it's just Beth. She can be pretty dramatic. But there seemed to be a pretty dramatic response to it. And that actually led to, or was part of the, hey, you know, we heard about the translation project, you know, that I guess she had mentioned it or something. And so someone emerged from that community or that gathering anyway, Donald, you know, to do the translation. So what are your impressions of what she has talked to you about, and, you know, sort of since that initial kind of orientation, you know, very specifically with Divine Counsel stuff, I guess our audience would probably be curious as to, was this old, was this new, you know, could they sort of see with more clarity than, you know, typically lots of Christians over here, you know, that, you know, you introduce them to the content and they just look at you like you got two heads or something. What was there a difference there? So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. And before they left last summer, I asked her for a copy of her slides. So I got to see the content that she was going to be using. And I was really excited. Really wished I could have been there. But when they came back, the way Beth had described it was that the response was amazing. It sounded like it was a whole lot more than what I've ever seen over there. There's always been an insatiable hunger to learn for, you know, the subjects that we've talked about. But in this particular case, I don't think it was familiar to them. I think in that regard, they're a lot like us here, but it's like an aha moments for them in lots of ways. And I could not explain that to you that well, because not being there, I'm just sort of reporting, you know, mm-hmm. what I was told. But I know this, that the books that were brought out there were in high demand.
Yeah, I can't remember how many I sent out, but I remember sending some out.
Yeah, their appreciation for that, from what I was told, was amazing, and they wanted more, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the context for this year's trip.
Yeah, I've presented Divine Counsel stuff before, I remember one particular place in San Diego. This was years ago. This is before I even had completed the Myth That Was True draft that would become, you know, or at least in part become Unseen Realm. And there were 5 or 6 pastors from Africa at this event. And afterwards, they, you know, I mean, they were really excited about it. They were excited because it's like, finally, you know, we hear somebody over here say what we more or less just experience all the time, you know, and, you know, to them, it was more like a grateful response that somebody finally said something, as opposed to it being new. So I was curious, you know, because I've had the other side as well, that this is sort of Christian stuff 101, yeah, as far as believing, you know, that the supernatural is real, and it, you know, you run into it, you know, and they were like, yeah, like, we don't go a week without having to deal with something, you know. So I was just curious, you know, what the you know, what that was like.
One of the things that whenever I go over there, they really show me, they teach me a lot. I tell them that, and it sounds kind of a little cliche, but they really do, because whenever we go over there, there's always a time whenever someone falls sick, they have, you know, someone will get malaria, mm-hmm. or maybe they just, whatever the case may be. And over here, we're just so accustomed to being able to just, you know, go to the doctor or get hold of some medication, or, you know, and over there they rely so heavily on prayer. It's an immediate response for them. And, mm-hmm. And so for them to see God intervene and answer prayers is not something that's like, over here, we see that too, but over there, it's sort of like, it's sort of like taking ibuprofen for us, for them, and the Holy Spirit heals them from whatever they were suffering with, it's a little more, they're a lot more open in anticipation of what God's going to do. Whereas mm-hmm. I think here we're so reliant on technology and medicine and everything else that it's a whole lot different for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the language situation over there? How many speak English? Does everybody speak English? You know, 80%, 20%. What's the deal there?
Yeah, I would say it was over 50% speak some English.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whenever I'm at a conference in the past, there would be some that would know a little bit of English that would struggle. But there, you'd be surprised at how many do know English and know it very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I guess we can task you with something. I mean, if you're going to go over in June, you know, they've got the Swahili translation now. Make sure that they understand. They can do whatever they want with that. They can print it. They can, if they have digital devices or they take it into the city. I mean, whatever. It's free. They can do whatever they want with it. Reproduce it as often as possible. That sort of thing. I'd like you to ask them what other kinds of things specifically they need in terms of content or anything. I mean, we're going to be doing some discipleship stuff this year, you know, written content and then putting that out to translators. So I don't want to reinvent the wheel if they already have things like that, you know, from some other ministry in the past in their case, but it would be nice to know, you know, what a group like that really needs, both to use themselves and then to disseminate and multiply and so on and so forth.
I know that you mentioned discipleship. That's a big thing. They would definitely like whatever was available for that topic.
Try to narrow it, you know, like again, topically, because when, you know, I don't want to be silly here, but when we think of discipleship, again, this is just, this is my own context, you know, growing up as a Christian, discipleship meant getting material on, okay, you should read your Bible, you should pray, you should come to church, you should tithe, you should get baptized. You know, that was discipleship. You know, after that, it's show up and listen to the preaching, which of course, if the preaching is good, that's great. You know, that's really helpful, but it would be nice to know if there's like some specific issue or, you know, something really that's kind of a sweet spot over there that they just run into all the time or really struggle with, that sort of thing. So if you can do a little fishing, that'd be great.
Sure. Sure. I do know that, and it's similar over here, but discipleship in terms of that, what they've witnessed a lot of is there's such a focus on the emotional part of it, the experiential part of it. But they recognize that, you know, just like we're beginning to recognize over here, that there needs to be more than that. There needs to mm-hmm. be I know I have to be a disciple of Jesus, but what exactly does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is that's where they're at.
Yeah, it might be as simple as that. You know, like in okay, beyond this emotional stuff or this feeling I get, or, you know, again, I don't want to be too pejorative, but I have American Christians here in mind, behind, you know, the sort of the warm, fuzzy feeling that, you know, I get when I listen to the worship band. I mean, and I'm here every week. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
Like, what's this supposed to be?
I'm covering everything on the list here and I don't get it. What's the deal?
Yeah. Okay. So it seems to be pretty basic and pretty broad then. But if you run into anything specific, let us know. Well, I have one more question. When Beth brought, you said she exposed them to the podcast, I imagine she had a device with like MP3s on it or something. So it wasn't something they could tune into, or was it? You know, like what is the, I know we wanted to have Donald on with us and the government over there just shuts the electricity off randomly and it's very unpredictable. So that didn't work out, but beyond the electricity problem, the unpredictability of that, what is the technological situation? Like, do people have phones? Do they have, you know, like, do they have Walkman, you know, like from the 80s or something? What's going on over there?
Yeah. basically most of their internet is wireless from the cellular provider. And it's spotty, you know, as you can imagine. In town, it's pretty good, but the speeds are not like the speeds we get here. Everybody pretty much carries a, remember those old Nokia phones from the, that there's a lot of those, but according to folks that went last year, you know, some, the smartphones are making their way in that area. So, but there's no wireline anything when it comes to broadband. So we rely on wireless more than anything else.
I'm just wondering if we put episodes on a flash drive, you know, and you took it over there and then they could copy them from desktop to desktop, you know, is that worth doing?
I think so. Definitely think so.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll just plan on getting that to you and you can reproduce it, you know, however you're able to do that. Well, I'm glad you could give us a little report about the fact that Supernatural, especially the book, but more generally the Divine Council stuff, you know, is penetrating that part of Africa. I mean, we have listeners all over the world. You know, I mean, Trey and I, you know, both get emails from people who catch the podcast in the oddest places and circumstances. So, you know, since we had a translation project going, you know, with, you know, someone you have immediate contact with, and of course, knowing that you do this, we wanted to have you on just so that you could share a little bit with the podcast audience, so that they can know, you know, this kind of stuff is happening and this is not an isolated thing. You know, we've got over 20 translation projects. I mean, half of them are done now, but this sort of thing is happening everywhere. And, you know, we also talked to some people in the Middle East. Again, we can't really be more specific than that. And we have another interview set up for Eastern Europe. But this sort of thing is happening all over the place. So we just wanted to include Africa. So thanks for spending a little bit of time with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I appreciate it.
Well, we're fortunate to have Donald Memari. And Donald, you'll have to correct me if I'm saying your last name incorrectly. We're fortunate to have Mari.
Mari.
Okay. We're fortunate to have Donald with us. He is online with us from Africa. So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit, where you're at and what you do?
Okay, my name is Donald Mari. I'm from Sanyaju in Kilimanjaro, Tanzania. I'm a secondary school teacher. Currently, I'm doing my master's degree in educational management at Tumaini University Makumira in Arusha, Tanzania.
Wow. What do you teach?
I teach English.
Okay. Well, then you were the perfect person to translate Supernatural. Donald is our translator, our Swahili translator for my book, Supernatural.
Sure.
Yeah, so thank you for doing that. That was a lot of work. Thank you for that.
Thank you also for giving me this important task.
Well, we'd just like to chat a little bit about, I guess, the impact that Charlie and others have had in ministry out there and you yourself, and how the kind of teaching in the book has been received. So you can tell, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can say a little bit. The books, I know that I have worked on one of your books that is Supernatural, but we have been with for quite some time. Since 2011, she has been teaching on various places in Kilimanjaro, in some places of Arusha and Tanga, through conferences. She has been using your books as references of her teachings. So they have been very helpful. And I think now it is going to be much more easier because we have it now in Swahili. Mm-hmm. Last time she had to take some phrases from the book and then put it into the materials. But if we have the book now in Swahili, it is easier for the pastors now to get the copy and use them.
Mm-hmm. How do you imagine you will be able to distribute the translation? Is it going to be print or digital? How do you imagine that can be done, and what can we do to help?
I think both ways can be used, since most of the people here are using smartphones, so they can access the material online, if mm-hmm. it is free especially. And for the printed ones, they can also be useful. Maybe when we hold a conference, we can have some copies and give to the people who are attending so that they have something to rely on.
Mm-hmm. Would it help if we, would it help if we printed some here? And I know Charlie is going back there in June. I don't know that we can accomplish that by June, but do you have a printer there? And even if you do, is that something we should think about doing?
I think it will be helpful, though I cannot say to what extent, but the way I worked on that book, I found that it has so many important things which people need to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if we have some copies, they would be very helpful. Even not so many copies, but even about 100, 200, mm-hmm. they can help.
Is there a printer near you? Because we could also help pay for that. Do you have a printer in a nearby town or city, or how does that work?
Yeah, the printers are there, but I don't know exactly how much it costs for printing a copy. Maybe mm-hmm. I go there and check to see how it works.
Yeah, let us know how much that would cost. Just ask him how much would it cost for 100 or 500, and then let me know. You can let we can discuss that by emails whenever you know.
I will.
Okay. Do you have a specific role in a church there, or teaching the Bible outside of teaching English, or do you sort of do a little of all of that?
I'm just a church member. I don't have a specific role, but I just translate for the people who are coming from different places who are not familiar with Swahili.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing I do. And teaching is my job, so I'm just doing it for
mm-hmm.
for getting income.
Right. How many students do you have?
It's a public school, so it depends. Sometimes around one class, you find a class with around 50 to 80 students.
What age?
From the age of 15 to 19.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have a required curriculum?
Yeah, the curriculum we have there.
I was going to say, if you didn't have a lot of rules, maybe you could sneak Supernatural in as a textbook. We would send them free to you.
We can use them when we are having those. In schools, in public school, we have one day for religious studies.
Oh.
So in that particular period, we can just use them. So
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll remember that. Wow. So now one more question.
Mm-hmm.
When you have Charlie or someone else come to teach, is that connected to just one particular church, or you get people from everywhere? that come to that? And how do people find out?
At the beginning, we had people from almost all churches. But right now, the teachings are focusing on pastors from one church.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. So they're specifically trying to help pastors learn more.
Yeah.
And then they can teach other people. All right. Wow. Yes. Well, we're glad that we could, play a little part in this. And I told Charlie, we talked to Charlie for this episode of the podcast, that we are going to be sending audio files of the podcast to him on thumb drives, flash drives. And, so you can expect him to have some of those when he gets there again. But anything that would be useful, if we can help you get those things or make those things, we are interested in doing that. Our talk here will be on that podcast soon. It'll be episode 200. So you can listen to yourself.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for sharing a few minutes with us. And like I said, if you need something, you have to let us know, and we can do what we can to help you.
Thank you too, and I'm very glad to hear from you.
Yep, thank you for all your work in the supernatural translation. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate too for giving me that chance to work on it.
Good. We don't want to keep you too late.
Thank you, Trey.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night. Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm sure there's probably things you can't say about yourself, but is there anything you can say?
Yeah. So my name is Michael Burke. Grew up in a small town in Missouri. I'm half Filipino and half Irish American. And because of the half Filipino side, I don't age as fast as my predecessors, which is a good thing now. But as I was growing up, I was always the shortest and the smallest of my peers, which made me a very easy target for bullies. And so I found myself very early on having to dodge bullies and think quick on my feet to avoid confrontation. But thanks be to God that was just a phase and I grew out of it. That through high school and college, I developed martial arts skills. I learned how to see threats before they developed into a confrontation. And what I learned was through strength and discipline, in what God was showing me in the Bible, that you can actually apply it to your life to create a posture of dominance, not in a way where you put people under, but where you don't present yourself vulnerable to being attacked or taken advantage of. So it's a posture of what God has done for you, and then you reflect that into the land to create safety and a presence of the living God where evil doesn't see you as an easy target anymore, where basically evil sees you as a threat. And I don't think it's biblical that for us as Christians to be afraid of the threats that exist. I don't think that we should be running and hiding from the darkness. I do think it is biblical that the darkness be running from us. So that's pretty much what I've been doing the last 10 to 12 years, taking my experience in force recon with the U.S. Marine Corps, and then going volunteering with anti-human trafficking ministries and basically missionary groups that are in hostile areas, and giving them the tools and the words that God has given me of basically embodying the gospel, which isn't just words, but is power, that through the cross, we actually can become more than conquerors, that evil develops and manifests itself in multiple different ways, whether that's through bullies or poverty or disease, pestilence, lack of resources, that evil can come against us in multiple ways. But through the power of the gospel, we can actually stand up against it and push it back and actually bring heaven to earth and create a little pocket of the presence of God here on earth through the words that we preach. We we put what we preach into practice, and you could see the fruit of it everywhere you go. So that's pretty much the theme of my life thus far. Now I'm working in the Middle East, and I'm not going to get into the details right, for security reasons, but
yeah, we'll come back to the specifics of that as you're able to give them. Okay. We also have with us Belle. What can you say about yourself?
I can say about myself, I grew up in a single parent and a mom who taught volunteerism and to give your life away. And to, even though we didn't have, we learned to give. And so that's the nature of my heart, to give. And I found Christ at a really very early age because of my mom had surgery and they didn't think she was going to come out of the hospital. And so I found Christ then. You know, because when you don't want your mom to pass away, you know, that's where I found Christ at. And because of that, I have a very compassionate heart. And God gave me a dream some time ago when I was growing up that my gift is loving people and being very compassionate. And that has entailed really giving. As my ministry that I do, as I found, is that giving people and encouraging people. There was a little lady, her name was Sister Mary Spencer, who mentored me for 7 years before she passed away. And she had the prison ministry. The name for her ministry was the Holy Woman of God. And she taught me how to live a life of holiness. And Billy Graham said a great thing that once you become a Christian, people are going to look at you and they're going to look to see if you walk the walk and talk the talk. So here people know, which I think is really very interesting, is that even if they're another culture, they can feel the love of God in your heart. And that's what I'm doing, walking and doing the love of God, which changes people's heart. Because when they see love and they feel love and they feel love that you're giving them, it changes the whole dynamics of that. And I found that has been a great change of compassion and love for people and the people of God, no matter what color they are, no matter what religion they are, because that shows them the true love of God. And that's where I'm at. So, yeah.
Now, we were connected to you or made aware of you by a mutual friend. John is his name.
Yes.
And my question is, do the two of you, Michael and Belle, are you together geographically? What are the circumstances here? Because what we want to talk about, and I know we're a bit constrained for time because Michael might have something thrown on his desk here shortly, but
yes.
Sort of like, are you together geographically, separate? Why would John mention both of you together? And then we want to talk about how the content of supernatural has, you know, had an impact, or how you're using that, where you're at, and what you're doing.
Oh, great! You want to take that, Mike? We're just it's kind of hard to explain that one. We are.
Well, I can explain what I do. Basically, I am here providing security for the U.S. State Department at the U.S. Embassy. And I have become the volunteer pastor for the Christian chapel service here.
Somewhere in the Middle East, right?
Right. We've had a military chaplain prior, but when the military separated, it kind of fell into my lap to continue the church service here. Mm-hmm. So it's predominantly mainly for American citizens and the U.S. mission. And it's basically a small city, mm-hmm. and so it's a ministry in itself. But the Lord is definitely using us. We've developed multiple small groups throughout this little city of ours, and I can see that supernatural would be a great material tool to develop the minds of our disciples here.
Now, are you able to? I mean, John had asked me for several of the translations. Have you used them, or you have plans for that, or what?
Yes. I'm actually, I was praying about it because I really love the book. You know, I enjoy the book, and so I'm turning it into a syllabus. So we've been using it teachable, but the problem is that breaking it down, making it teachable, mm-hmm. you know, in the smaller groups, making it teachable. And so, yes. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm making it to a palatable syllabus where they can use it as teaching tools during the teaching times, because where it's just, I cannot just tell you how the explosion of the little small satellite groups is, as Mike is telling you, it's just, and not only that, I'm sending them, once we're starting to teach them on what the book is, what I want to do is just send the syllabus, because everybody can't, you know, take the book and take everything with them. What I want to be able to do is just tell them to take a copy where they're going, and then take it to where they live at, you know, in the country that they live at, so they can go on and teach that. So it actually is going to become a teaching tools where it's actually going with individuals that have learned it, and they're going to take it and go with it. So that's a really great thing about it. It's actually like little groups that are going, and then they're taking it back to their homes. And when they're learning it and they're understanding it, they're taking it back. And it's a really actually a great teaching tool. And I really like your other book that's called The Unfiltered Bible. That was really good too. Love that one too. Great book. I'm working on a syllabus for that too, but it's just one at a time. I've got a lot of things on my plate that I'm kind of doing right now because I'm doing it when I'm not working. So
but yeah, make sure that people know with Supernatural, whether they get it in English form or some other form, that is completely free for distribution, and they can have it translated into other languages if they want. We don't have a Farsi yet, you know, so for the Middle East, that's one of the languages that we're, you know, we're hoping to get at some point. But, you know, Arabic, obviously, we have now.
Yes.
Awesome.
French was finished this week. I know that a lot of these Middle Eastern countries, French is also an important language. So that one just dropped this week. So it'll be up in the folder. I don't know if John gave you folder access or how he gave it to you, but it's there.
Yeah. He just sent it through email. But I'm telling you, that is powerful. So what I'm doing is taking the syllabus and translating it into the language. So when it's taught with the syllabus. So, I'm going to send you a copy when I'm done, because I'm still getting I'm getting someone to look at it and just going, because it's actually coming, like, because your book is so great, I'm taking the chapters and making it to the syllabus, and I'm just saying, okay, so it's almost like a little journal book form, because I want them to be able to understand it, chew it and get it, and then take it, because it's a great, great book. Great book. It's a really good book. Really good book. So I want to do that to the unabridged one, also the Unfiltered Bible, the other book too. I want to do that.
The both most recent one, yeah.
Yes.
Now, Michael or Belle, I mean, what's been the? Just give us an idea of what the response has been, either pushback or something that people have really, you know, had a bit of a fire lit under them, or something has become clear. Just something where you've seen it become meaningful to somebody.
I can give you an example. Like, we were reading through the books, and what happens is that I think a lot of times when they're teaching in about the supernatural, a lot of people really don't know. Like, a lot of people that are coming from Hindi and other cultures like that, they really, when they're getting in the gospel, it really opens, it really kind of unveils it for them. Does that understand what I'm saying? It unveils it, and they're really, they know that there are other forces, but this, they're not taught about. It helps them to understand the plain English and plain understanding of what the supernatural is. And it really is an eye opener. And one of the guys, when we were talking about it, and he said, really? You know, that's my version of it. You know, his eyes kind of got big, and he really got a hold of it. And that's what it does, is that it's the entrance of the Word of God brings light. And you can see it, and you can see the change in their understanding. And it's so great. So that's why I love it. I love it. I love what it's doing to people and the change that they're getting from it. Because they're getting a true change. You may not be able to talk to everybody, but they really are really loving it. They're really loving it. So, yes, it's really changed. Well,
we're glad to hear that. Michael, I'm wondering how much now that it's sort of divorced from the military, you know, you're subsuming this role of being the chaplain. How much oversight is there over you, and are you – mean, how much of the content that you give do you have control over?
I have 100% control of the church ministry here.
Oh, that's nice.
I had two gentlemen working on our co-ed Bible study. We have a women's study on Tuesday nights, a co-ed study on Thursday nights, and a men's study on Friday nights. I've yet to receive the materials to distribute. We just finished a study last week, and so we are looking for more materials to put out to our small groups.
Are you looking for hard copy or digital?
Right, hard copy.
Okay. Another question. Do you guys listen to the podcast at all? Are you able to do that? I'm just wondering if there are any sort of firewalls or obstacles, or, you know, what the situation is over there.
Well, the only thing that I can tell you is that the church that I'm speaking of is it's a church made up of expats, people from foreign nationals, of Arabic, Kenyan, Indian, and Peruvian. And just it's a really multicultural, but it's really catching fire. It's really a lot of satellite groups. It's just amazing what the power of God is going on here. It is just absolutely amazing. And the materials that John has been sending us is just incredible. So we're just waiting on some more things to come by. And Mike, I'll give you a copy of the syllabus as soon as I finish, but I'll also send you guys a copy. I think you'll really enjoy it and that you can use it as a teaching tool also. And what I want to do is I'm trying to get some other stuff to other people to translate a couple other tracks and things in Arabic. We have great groups of people that are on fire for God. And they're hungry for it. They're very hungry for it.
We should mention John's ministry in this. So just say a little bit about, you know, either of you, what your connection is to his ministry, the Soldiers Bible Ministry.
For me, he blessed us. There was such a need in our chapel, in our church that we have. It's called All Nations Church, and they were without Bibles, and the chaplain there got in touch with John, and he sent us Bibles, and they were so grateful to receive Bibles because they were without Bibles. So that's how the connection was through the chaplain. And he has sent us quite a bit of material. They were using like devotionals and things like that, and it's really helped the growth of the congregation, which is quite a few people, because a lot of the workers and a lot of the people that come in the evening time, that's why the congregation is really pretty big. It's a pretty good size. Yes. And it's usually, it is packed. And those satellite groups are going home and taking their information home and taking the fire that they have home where they are.
Mm-hmm. Michael, how about you? What's your connection to John?
I was introduced to John by Bell, and it's the same thing. We usually get Bibles donated from different churches here at the embassy. So people would take Bibles, and we encourage them to take them back to their, because most people are seasonal here. They come here, they do their short-term mission, and then they go home. So we're always getting Bibles, giving them out. And so, yes, Brother John is quite the blessing to be able to bring so many Bibles in different translations. That's something we've definitely been missing. So it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yay. Yeah, he's our hero.
Well, I'm sure he'll hear that. I'm sure he'll listen. So, you know, kudos to you, John. I know he's not. John's just a good guy. You know, this is really a big concern to him, which of course is why he started the ministry, and you know his heart's in it. So he'll enjoy hearing that. Well, I want to thank you guys for contributing a little bit to what is going to become our 200th episode on the podcast. We're, you know, just talking to people in different parts of the world. Some can be more open than others as far as, you know, who they are and their information geographically and what they're doing. But you guys will be part of that. you know, that we just figured that would be a good thing to do for that benchmark episode, because we get emails a lot, you know, that people are using the content, and especially as the translations are starting to drop now, you know, I'm just glad that it's, you know, useful. That's really why we do it, to try to do something useful for believers.
Amen. I want to let you know, it's more than useful. It's very educational. And, we're trying to get a lot of the people that are actually benefiting from it. What I'd like to be able to do is, after we're going to finish, once they finish their training, we want to come and we would like to do a graduation. And that's what I'm just thinking of, once they go through the training, is do a graduation and have mm-hmm. them come and speak to you, so you can hear for yourself what it's done. So mm-hmm. you can actually hear the results. So that's what, yeah.
The other thing is if you guys need anything, you could email me or reach out to John, and he'll send it, you know, to me. In 2018, we're trying to put some thought into it now, a little bit of planning thought, to produce something useful for discipleship that incorporates mm-hmm. the content. I mean, your syllabus sounds, you know, like you're already, you know, down that road. The idea is to produce something, you know, brief, but that uses the content in discipleship. And then once that's mm-hmm. produced in English, pass it around to some people in different cultural groups, different people groups, and then have them work it over or adapt it to their own situation. Then ultimately get that stuff translated. Because now that I know all these translators, it's like, they're just ducks on the pond, you know, really. I mean, they're right there. They're good at what they do. They're competent. This would be a lot shorter than Supernatural. So we could produce a number of things through my nonprofit that would, again, you know, just be useful. So if you have ideas, things that you'd like to see, please, by all means, pass them on. Or if you're angling for something, you need something, you got to let us know.
You know, I think it just, you know, what I really was praying about is that it's such a, both of them are such great books that they would have like a journal attached to it. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Because I'm doing the syllabus, but it
send me a sample. Send me a sample page, a couple pages of what you're thinking, so I can visualize it.
Okay, because it's a great book, but you know, it's people need to meditate on it. After they read just one chapter, they need to meditate on it and mm-hmm. really get in and just really get into it. That's what I'm wanting them to do. So mm-hmm. when they get finished with the book, it's actually a class. The book is a class. The mm-hmm. book itself is a teaching class. And when they get finished with it, you know, it will take them to another level. And that's what I'm wanting to do. So mm-hmm.
That's Michael, do you have anything to add? I know, again, you're a little bit pressed for time, but
I just think it's amazing that you are able to get the word of God out to so many people. I think it's awesome that the Lord has given you such a vision for this, to proclaim the word yes. of God in such a way. Yes. I do think that when we focus on the negativity, there's always something wrong with the world, and when we focus on yeah. that, we lose sight of what God is doing, and we yes. actually we kind of throw off our royalty. We break fellowship with God when we focus too much on the wars and the violence and the pain and the suffering. Not that those things don't exist. They do exist, but the provision of God exists in the problem. That where we plant our seeds of faith, it's always in somebody else's problems. So I think it's amazing that you are getting out the testimony of what God's doing in this region, because most of the time people just hear the negativity and, sure. and the heartache and the tragedy, but there is real miracles going on. And the Bible says that he inhabits the praise of his people. And so that's what's going on here, that there is a community praising the name of God, and it's growing yes. day yes. by day.
Yes, well,
we tend
yes.
to gravitate toward that. I mean, you probably have heard me before, you know, say something to that effect, that I enjoy finding believers in all sorts of odd places, just doing stuff that needs to be done. And they don't stop and ask for permission. They don't, you know, sort of look at the problems. And, you know, it's just that I just like to see that. I love to run into it, where there's so much that could be done that gets stymied, either by the kind of stuff, you know, Michael's referring to, or just, you know, just kind of mind-numbing bureaucracy. You know, it you know, just get off your butt and do it.
Yes.
Amen. You know, amen. I just enjoy amen. Seeing. So amen. Yeah, we tend to gravitate toward that kind of thing here. And maybe there's a bit of a mischievous streak involved in it too, but
yeah,
it's just fun to see people do things that need to be done, and you know, and God will be in it. He'll bless it.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree. You know, this is, if you would have told me, if I'm telling you it's just taking off, if it's such taking off, it is just the word of God, all of it's taking off. And it's just, we were just talking about how fast it's going taking off and how fast and powerful. And I mean, it's just moving and it's just going just beyond. It's just mind boggling. The supernatural things. If you can only know the supernatural things that God is doing here, incredibly so, just from here, here. So
that's what we like to hear.
Ooh, yeah. And I'm happy about it. And you know what? You don't ask, you just get it done. So amen.
Yeah. Well, thank you both. Be safe. I know you, your heart's in what you're doing, and the Lord be with you and the people that you minister to as well.
Amen.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. And thank you for the books. Thank you for the books and thank you for the material that we're using. And you know what? John is my hero and you're my hero too, because this is what it is. It's empowering a lot of people. It really is. No kidding. It really is. Thank
you.
That's
great. Thanks. You're welcome.
Thank you. God bless you.
Well, we have three people with us from Albania. And when I asked them to introduce themselves, they could get more specific than that as far as city and ministry and that sort of thing. We have David, Bruna, and I think is it Fitor or Fidor? You'd have to correct my pronunciation there. What was that?
Fitor.
Vitor, okay. Why don't you introduce yourselves to the podcast audience? Again, we're thrilled that you would be able to do this. I know we got a big time zone variance here, but we really wanted you to be part of our 200th episode because of how much you're enjoying the content and what you're doing with it. So go ahead and please introduce yourselves. I guess we could start with David, and then the other two, please introduce yourself.
Sure. Well, great to talk to you, Mike and Trey. I'm David Muniz. I'm American. I work here in Albania, and I'm a big follower of the Naked Bible and your work. And in fact, I shared a copy of The Unseen Realm with Fitor and Bruna, and that's how all this got started here in Albania.
Oh, wow.
Very remarkable.
My name is Bruna, and I work in Tirana, and I am a colleague of David's. And this is how I had an opportunity after he shared with me a copy of the book, and then I shared it with the pastor, Pastor Fitor.
Yeah, she shared with me, but because she is my daughter.
And okay.
And when she told me about this book, I wanted to know more about this book, and I said to her, please can find a copy. And so through David, we had the opportunity to have a copy of the book, and I was completely catched at the moment that I opened the book, and I was reading about the Psalm 82, verse 1. I was completely catched and shocked from this, because is like a person that had been blind and in a moment he can see.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I have to start. So we started as a family. Every day, every morning, we will read the book together. And so we continue for a time. And then we talk as a family, and I thought it's time to raise up a team. A group of people from the church, and starting a group of study this book. So this was the beginning, let's say.
Yeah.
Wow. I understand what you're saying with Psalm 82.
Yeah, he is.
That's how I start the book.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes it looks like the people that or I'm talking Albanian. Duke sjeta kërkuesit të artit.
It's like those gold searchers that are able to find a dust of gold in the river. And they knew that that's the evidence that they're able to find more gold if they continued with that stream of river. And the same happened with me.
Në momenti që u kapa nga ky fillim.
At the time,
libri.
I was caught by this book, by the beginning of this book.
Kisha bindjen e plot se duhet vazhdoja.
I was fully convinced that I had to continue.
Kështu që ngrita më pas, ngrita një grup nga kisha,
and as I said,
rreth 20 vet.
We were able to put together a team of 20 people from the church, approximately 20 people.
Një pjesë janë pjesë e leadershipit.
A part of this group is part of the leadership in the church, leadership team.
Dhe pjesa tjetër individ të cilët unë e dija që kishin etje për fjalën e për për të shkuar në thellësi.
The rest of the group are individuals who had a thirst and they really wanted to go deep in the word of God.
Kështu që nisëm udhimin.
So therefore we embarked on this journey.
Dhe ka mund të them se deri tani është një udhim i cili me të vërtetë jo vetëm që po na fut në thellësira që nuk kishim menduar se do të shkonin.
It's a journey that has brought us into depth that we had never envisioned we would go.
Por që tani me sa duket është shumë e vështirë për të shkëputur më.
But now it seems like it's impossible to get away or to get disattached from what we've been studying.
Kemi vazhdimisht debate.
And we continuously have continuous debates within the group.
Dhe është shumë e këndshme, nuk është se është e lotshme.
And it's a healthy and a pleasant debate. It's not that it's exhausting or tiresome.
Kështu që mund të them që ka qenë me të vërtetë një bekim.
And I can really say that it was a blessing.
Well, I'm what can I say? It's a little overwhelming. I mean, I'm very grateful that it has been such a blessing. And but I'm more grateful that you made so much effort, you know, to teach other people, you know, have them read the book, because that's why we do it. I mean, I obviously know just what you're talking about. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know, it just, there it is. And, you know, that's what happened to me. So I'm always thrilled to hear that happening, you know, elsewhere and to other people.
Yeah. And
Mike, I think it's quite remarkable, because I know on your podcast you talk about all the time how there's only a few people in every church usually that are really looking to go deeper, and how hard it is to get a group of people together that all of whom see this or interested in Middle Earth residents, as you would call them. And I can tell you, if we were back home, I don't think I would have shared this with a pastor and had 20 people reading the book, you know, a year later, with plans for even more, with sermons being themed on this content, and to bring this out, it's really quite remarkable. And I attribute it to the fact that here in Albania, people don't have a denominational overlay. You know, they don't have all this tradition, which can sometimes get in the way, as you know, of just seeing this for what it is, because we all have these traditions about what the Bible is. Say theological traditions, you know, and so it's really refreshing to see people who believers who are they look at the Bible, they see what it says, and they just accept it, you know.
Yeah. What's the harm? You know, let's just look at the text. What's the harm?
Exactly.
Wow, that's really neat. Now, I'm curious, David, or Bruna, have you tried? It sounds like you're just going with the heavy dose, you know, unseen realm. And I'm wondering about if you've read Supernatural or tried to use any of that. I mean, I have to wonder about also what languages are needed. I mean, I'm sure you all know about the translation project, and I'm wondering if we have anything either running or completed that would serve somebody who doesn't have English there?
Well, I mean, as you know, we've been discussing translating Supernatural with the rest of the congregation. I think it's a good move. I mean, I've only read The Unseen Realm. I've never read Supernatural. I need the footnotes. I need to kind of read through this and see. Yeah. Maybe every time, but you really need to see it for yourself. Albania, I'll let Fitor and Bruno talk more about the Albanian language and the peculiarities of it. It's a language with very, very old roots, and it's also very, very different from any of the languages in the neighboring countries. But a lot of people here, in addition to speaking Albanian, they also speak Italian, maybe French, maybe German. So those kind of bigger European languages, there's a lot of people here who speak them well. And English is very widely spoken here by people who are educated. Just about everyone, especially younger people, are learning English. So it's actually much more useful here, English, than even, say, in some of the neighboring countries like Serbia or Greece or what. So you can penetrate pretty far with that. And Albanians tend to know that their language is really difficult and obscure. They readily learn other languages, much more so than other people that I've... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really think Fitor and Bruno should also speak to that.
I would like to also pinpoint the fact that when it comes to the book, given with the Unseen Realm, it's not so easy to be understood by Albanians, regardless of level of English or competency.
Yeah.
Therefore, what we've been doing as a group is dividing chapters and translating them so that the entire team could work off the same version, and then we're able to go back and discuss that and turn that chapter into a discussion point or the focus of discussion. So what usually happens is that on Mondays, the member of the team that will be doing the translation will be translating the chapter that is provided to the team the week after. And then throughout the following week, the entire team prepares, reads, and makes notes and comments, and then we discuss that over the next week. So this is how we've been going through in this process. But...
Dr. Heiser,
But I'm very grateful to Dr. Heiser
for
the opportunity you've granted to us through this book. We had never, for example, anticipated or thought that we would go through the analysis of divine hierarchy. Or even actually connecting that with Ephesians. Because really, it seemed like the unseen realm was really unseen. Until this window was opened unto us. So we are very grateful of this opportunity you've given to us through this work. Because it's not rare that in churches you find questions related to this. Such as, for example, the Book of Job. For example, when we were unable to respond or to answer the question, how did Satan make it into God's presence? But only through this book. We were able to respond to it.
That's just so neat. it's just really all the effort you put into it. And it's really a good approach, to break it down like you're doing and then little, translate portions. I haven't run into anybody else, any other church that's doing that. There are churches using Supernatural, but I wish they would do it with Unseen Realm. And I think, there are a handful that are trying to do something there. But yeah, you folks are just way ahead. It's really admirable, to be honest with you. Yeah, I love hearing about it.
Un po' pregatit nëse duhet për duhet kjo gjeografia kosmike ka qenë një kapitull me të vërtetë ngasmues.
For example, what has really been something that has really touched and impacted me is when we talk about cosmic geography.
Gjithmonë jemi përpjekur që të shikonin nga libri momenti i Naamanit.
For example, when we talked when it speaks about the story of Naaman.
Kurse kishin kuptuar ndonjëherë përse Naamani kërkonte dhe nga Izraeli.
We never understood why did he, for example, ask for some land from Israel, for example, to bring it over.
Dhe mënyra se si gjeografia kozmike ka paraqitur atë.
And the way cosmic geography introduced and presented it to us.
E bën plotësisht të qartë prezantimin e tij përpara kishës.
Makes it very clear its presentation to the church.
Edhe është hapësirë për kishën.
And it really provides space for the church.
Kisha nuk e ka vështirë për ta kuptuar.
It's not difficult for the church to understand.
Nga koncepti i gjeografisë kozmike.
When we talk about geographic cosmic geography.
Mm-hmm. Good example.
Dhe ajo që un kam vënë re nga libri është ajo dëshira për të gërmuar në fjalën e Perëndisë.
And also another thing that we've learned from this book is the idea to go deep, to rummage in the word of God.
Dhe për të vazhduar të bërit e pyetjeve mbi pasazhet e vështira.
And then to continue ask questions about difficult passages we find in the scriptures.
Kur më përpara ne kemi rëshit aty.
Whereas from before we would actually skip them.
Dhe jam falendëruar Zotit sepse zgjeron kuptuarit e Perëndisë.
I'm really grateful to God because it really broadens our understanding of him.
Dhe bashkëprimin me krijesat e tij.
And also this cooperation between his creatures.
Kishim pasaj në një adhurim plot kuptim.
That will then lead into worship.
Për Perëndinë, për Perëndinë e Perëndive.
Yeah, well that's you know, I hate to put it this way, but that's a missing element in a lot of places. So you're really seeing the things I was hoping readers would see and connecting those dots.
You know, Mike, I wanted just to say too, one of the interesting phenomenon that occurred with the study group in the church, that at the moment that the book was available, there were a large number of people in the church leadership, among kind of the intellectuals in the church, who had questions about many different difficult parts of scripture, like Genesis 6, like Babel, you know, all the parts that you cover in the book and the kinds of things that are the you know, frequently discussed in Christian Middle Earth. Well, these folks were ready and looking for answers and afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. And so the timing of all this, I mean, obviously a divine appointment on multiple levels, but the book was able to suddenly bring all these folks together and start answering these questions in a way that none of them would have expected. So it's been a real blessing on that front too, which suggests to me there's a lot more people out there who could benefit from this, but I think we know that.
Yeah. What were, how did they come across and have these questions by their own reading, their own study, or do they have, you know, exposure to other things that would, you know, other, I don't know, radio, TV, whatever, other ministries that would have planted the questions.
No, it's simply from the study of this book, actually.
Nëse do të ndodhte që të ishit i pranishëm, do të shikoni të që...
And if you, for example, were to be present in our study group,
ne, aty ka me të vërtet ka gëzim.
There is really great joy in the dynamic of our discussion.
Sepse duket sikur në një studim të tillë duhet mungoj, domethënë gëzimi duhet kesh njerëz me fytyra kështu serioze, po
është e kundërta. Like when it comes when you actually are part of such a study group, people should be very sober and very dim and not happy, but it's totally the opposite. When the group gets together,
ata vin nganjëherë me pyetje që duam kalojmë për te të padukshmes që keni sjell ju.
And they sometimes come with questions that go even beyond the unseen part of the unseen you brought to us. Bring them down. I tell them, please, we have to be careful because you have to really be careful when it comes to how far can you go.
Right, right.
Porque natyrisht kemi ne kemi grumbulluar dhe pyetjet që kemi pasur.
We've had some questions and we did actually write them down. We have some of them.
Dhe un para se të organizoja këtë takim, un fola me ta dhe thash më thoni se cila është vlera që ju keni parë nga libri dhe cilat janë pyetjet.
And just before this discussion that we're holding together, I asked them if they could share with us some of the values of the book and some of the questions that they have seen.
Dhe pjesa atyre që un po flas janë vlerat që ata shikojnë.
And some of the things that I've been sharing are the values that the group has noticed in this book.
Dhe jemi vetëm te kapitulli 25.
And we are currently, as we speak, starting chapter 25.
Sepse vërtet është që ka raste që sepse ne po studiojmë kapitull pas kapitulli.
As I said, we're starting it chapter after chapter.
Edhe ka raste që në një kapitull ne qëndrojmë.
And it hasn't been that we spent only 1 week per chapter. There are weeks that, or there are times when we've spent more than a week, maybe 2 weeks per chapter. For we really want to digest what we have been studying.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear, you know, your impressions and, you know, some questions, but you're amazingly tenacious. I don't know if that, I'm trying to think of another word, but maybe something easier to translate, but dedicated.
Yeah. Nuk e dia do t'ishte e udhë, si themi në Shqipëri, që të drejtoja një dy pyetje.
I don't know if it's
sepse do më pyesin ata,
appropriate to ask any questions, because I know that the group will ask me next Monday when we meet. Ask any questions on our behalf.
Go ahead, and if Pastor has a couple of those questions, sure, why not?
Okay. One of the questions is, why God treated differently the two divine rebellions, the one on Genesis 3 and the other on Genesis 6? Then Akash was sentenced to live in the underworld while the proud Bnei Elohim were bound in chains in darkness. The former get some autonomy of activity and the latter are imprisoned, awaiting judgment. Mm-hmm. Another question would be, why God insisted so much for a no trespassing policy between physical and spiritual realms when in the new Edenic earth, people and divine beings would live together?
Well, I think the second one, I think we have a little more information about that, because it wasn't the second rebellion. God wasn't forbidding coexistence. You know, he is forbidding other spiritual powers from, you know, having their own followings, raising up their own peoples, which would create, you know, rivalries. And, you know, according to Psalm 82, it creates a circumstance where some of those beings are being looked upon as objects of worship and really doing things to solicit that kind of response from people. So I don't think that coexistence in and of itself was the problem. It went considerably beyond that. And, you know, I don't know if any of the group has read or caught any of the podcast episodes where we talk about the content of Reversing Hermon, the other book.
Right.
But there's also an element of divine beings presuming to dispense certain knowledge to humans that results in their own self-destruction and idolatry. So that was also an element of what's going on here as well. So that's the second part. The first part, you know, we're not really told specifically, you know, why, you know, God more or less takes, you know, the position that he does. I would say this, though. The initial rebellion really is about, obviously, the loss of mortality. And, you know, the whole episode, while it's you know, something that, you know, God certainly didn't ordain, you know, or want, you know, he can, you know, and will, you know, rectify that situation, you know, through redemption. You know, they will have eternal life, you know, regardless anyway. And the Nakash, you know, the serpent, you know, commits this particular crime to rob humans, you know, through deception of you know, immortality and life with God. You know, God, of course, comes right back and says, well, you know, we're going to take care of that problem. We're going to raise up a deliverer, an answer, you know, from the seed of the woman. You know, we're still going to use humans. We're not wiping them, you know, off the planet. There is no plan B. We're going to, you know, have humans involved, and from humans, I will make a solution. You know, and God, of course, anticipated that. I mean, this was no surprise. You know, offering himself through the Son as a solution to that. You know, the other incident is a little bit different in that what they do essentially causes, if I can put it this way, I mean, there are no, you know, hard problems for God, but it causes more difficulty because you have a situation where humans are essentially enabled and taught to destroy themselves, you know, more effectively. And so it's really an attack not on human destiny or human, you know, membership in the family, but it's really an assault on humanity itself, you know, to try to, you know, really destroy, you know, people from the earth. The other one was, again, thinking that God, you know, we're going to get Adam and Eve to fall here, and then God's going to just wipe them out, and that'll be the end of that. That isn't what happens. Their lives are preserved. But in the second instance, you've sort of got a multiplication of the problem that now, you know, we take these fallen humans and, you know, we teach them things that are going to direct their attention away from the plan of redemption, away from the true God. We're going to dispense knowledge that will produce idolatry and, of course, self-destructive behavior. And I think what they do, the second rebellion, is actually more severe than the first. And I think that's part of why, you know, God responds in the way he does, to sort of kind of cut that off, you know, sort of stop it in its tracks a little bit. But I think the more severe punishment is actually merited. And I say it that way because in the Second Temple period, this event, it's not the first event, it's not the fall, you know, that of course is well known, and what happens there is well known. You know, we're estranged from God, and now, you know, we're not going to have eternal life with him unless we are redeemed. But it's the second event that is viewed as more destructive and more of a problem, because it results in the proliferation of human depravity. So in Judaism, Second Temple Judaism, it's actually the second event that, you know, is viewed as more of a catastrophe, more catastrophic consequences than even the first. I mean, it would be different if Adam and Eve get driven from the garden and then, you know, they realize what they've done and, you know, God offers them redemption and they have children and that they're able to teach their children about the true God and you know, they have eternal life, you know, through the grace of God and whatnot. If that was the circumstance, that isn't as bad as a world full of people that not only are they in that situation, but they are essentially taught to turn from God, to hate God, to prefer some other, you know, other entity. And, you know, again, to explore, you know, the, you know, forbidden knowledge and do practice idolatry and destroy the family unit through immorality and things like that. That's actually a much more severe problem, because now you don't have just sort of one problem to solve. Believe in the redemption that God offers, and you're going to die in this life, but you'll still have eternal life. You know, if you only had that problem, that would be a whole lot better than having to navigate all of the things that tear us away from hearing the message and direct our attention toward, again, false gods. So I think that's why the problem was viewed more severely. And I think that would be a way, you know, to parse the difference in the punishment. We don't have a verse or a passage that spells all that out, but I think it's discernible.
Right. Right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Dr. Heinz, I appreciate на сегерондерен метод, речан по тасто тува. Не дон ти кане метод, ти е да пшим по судиме, првец са че не побрем.
Besides this book that we're studying, do you, Dr. Heiser, have any methods that you would maybe suggest that we continue with our study besides what we're doing?
When you say methods, do you mean tools to use or strategies?
Both tools and strategies.
It depends on what you have access to. I would recommend just generally, if you have if everybody has internet access and a computer or a laptop or even a phone or a tablet or something like that, that you could Google Faith Life Study Bible. I think the direct address is Faith Life Bible. Let me look it up here quickly. But the Faith Life Study Bible is a translation that my employer created. I contributed to it, but it's not my translation. But it's a translation that we created, and it's a study Bible with about 2 or 3 million notes. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the notes for the Torah and Joshua and Judges, mm-hmm. and Psalm 82 and Proverbs 8, you know, a few other passages, but it's free. And so that's a good resource just generally. Mm-hmm. It's www.faithlifebible.com. And it also comes with a Bible dictionary, the Lexham Bible Dictionary. I have a few articles in there, one on the Divine Council. One on Rephaim, one on the image of God, that sort of thing. But those are good resources, just in terms of something that everybody in your group certainly, and I would think even people in your church that are not in your group specifically, could certainly use for Bible study. Mm-hmm. And it's free. Yeah. You know, so it's right there. It's available. It's why we made it. You know, beyond that, there are, you know, certain websites that, you know, would certainly help. You're probably best served if I give you a list through email on those. And you could actually send me an email like what kinds of things do you want to be able to do or to read? And I can probably find some things that will be free and useful at the same time. So that's what I recommend. And just in terms of those strategies.
Yeah.
You know, I did a blog post on, you know, Heiser's Laws of Bible Study, where I list a few things that I think are helpful. However, having said that, I could send parts of my book. I wrote a series. It's going to be out again in May, the 60-Second Scholar series. I had self-published that, and then it got picked up by a big publisher, and it's going to be out in May. But there are probably 15 or 20 little readings in that are about methods, about ways to think about Bible study that I could just send electronically as well. So, give me a list of the kinds of things you want to think about or want to read, and then. I'll look for that stuff on this end and send it, because we want it to be digital because it's convenient. You can print it or put it on a phone or whatever, and we don't want it to cost anything.
By the way,
if you all wanted, you know, copies of Supernatural in English, I could send you physical copies.
That would be
most, just have to let me know.
Most welcome. Yeah, I'll send you an address that can get here quick. Yeah. Very generous of you, Doctor.
Yeah.
You more or less have to just tell me what you're needing, and we'll figure out a way to get it to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the translation project, we'll just ask for a few copies that multiple translators could have a copy to work on, and probably using the same method they use with the Unseen Realm.
Yeah.
But it appears that it will not be that difficult to get this translation done here. We have experienced translators. I mean, they've certainly been tested on the more rigorous material already, and so they're ready to.
Dr. Heiser, we also want to ask you, I don't know if you've had any exposure to the Albanian language.
I have not.
No.
Sepse kemi parë që disa fjalë gjenë kuptimin e vërtet në Shqip.
Because through this study, we've seen that some Hebrew words find their true meaning in Albanian.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
Nephilim, Nephilimet.
For example, the word Nephilims.
I përgjithë fare mirë shqipta Nephilim.
We have an Albanian word that says Nephilim, which stands for in the beginning.
Well, that's interesting.
Literally true.
I would say Kokabe.
Or the word Kokabe.
Yeah.
Është ylli i mëngjesit.
Or the morning star.
Në Shqip i bie plotësisht.
In Albanian can be translated verbatim from Albanian, I can make you the head.
Kjo është i pari që vjen.
Which means it's the first thing that comes.
Yeah, and that's morning star language in astronomy. You know, the star that appears first over the horizon. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's translated verbatim from Hebrew to Albanian.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting about this because Albanian actually has root words, Doctor, that are some of the oldest root words that are still used in modern languages. So it has roots that go far, far back. Mm-hmm. And no one knows the true genesis of the language or all the circumstances around it. Quite interesting.
What is the tradition or the history? And I know there's a blurred line between those two things, history and tradition, about bringing the gospel to that region of the world. In other words, is there a strong tradition of, you know, some apostolic presence there, you know, like there is with Andrew, he got to this and that country and, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, what's the history of that? Can you tell me?
Okay. Yeah, but we started the history of gospel starts from Apostle Paul. He speaks about Albania, but not Albania, but Illyricum. He speaks at Roman 15:19. So when he says, from Jerusalem until in Illyricum, I have fulfilled the proclaiming of the gospel of Christ. And this is in the Romans chapter 15, verse 19. And here he's talking for Albania because Illyricum, Albania is part of Illyricum.
Okay.
And, Apostle Paul have been here, and he has started some churches in Albania.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, then you know, then I mean, Paul is obviously going to be—he's going to be speaking Greek, Hebrew, you know, probably Aramaic as well. So you could have loan words, you know, what scholars call loan words that get adopted into a local language, and especially if they're very specific, if they have religious import to them, that they get adopted into the language and they just become part of it then. That's very interesting.
Because even some most of Greek words, old Greek words, mm-hmm. can be translated by Albanian. For example, Aphrodite. It's in Albanian Aphroditus,
which stands for the day is approaching, dawn is approaching.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah,
that is interesting.
But I can send you, Dr. Heiser, if you wanted some words from the Bible that can be can have meanings in Albanian language.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see. There's anything else I wanted to ask or to know? One more question before we wrap up. As far as your group, your study group, and the church, what percentage of the church is in this group? In other words, how do you have a church with a building? Is this a house church network? I mean, what's the situation there? I'm just curious. I don't have any particular reason to ask, but I'm just wondering, you know, what the relationship is between the group. I know it's pastor led, and then the church itself.
Kisha Rilindia.
Rilindia Church.
Ka dushërbesa të dielave.
Has two Sunday services.
Një shërbes me rreth 300 vet.
Shërbesa. One of the services.
Pas ditës.
Approximately gathers 300 people.
Dhe shërbesa para ditës rreth 200.
While the morning service is approximately 200.
Shërbesa dytë ka 2 muaj që ka filluar.
We started the second service only 2 months ago.
Kemi Rilindja ka dhe 2 kisha të tjera.
But also Rilindja has 2 other churches.
Njëra është në zonën rurale.
One in the rural area of Tirana.
Është një kishë jo shumë e madhe.
It's not a very big church.
Është rreth 100 per rritur,
approximately 100
adults
and 40 to 50 children.
Dhe kemi filluar para 2 vjetësh, 3 vjetësh, kemi filluar një tjetër kishë në një zonë tjetër Tiranës.
Nearly 3 years ago we started another church in another area of Tirana.
Dhe kjo është kisha e vogël për momentin.
And that's a small church for the moment.
Po Rilindja është kisha nën.
But Rilindja is the mother church in Tirana.
Pjesa e grupit studimit të librit tuaj.
When it comes to the group that is currently studying your book.
Pothuajse më paksa gjysma.
Maybe a little less than half of it.
Nën prej tyre janë pjesëtar të leadershipit.
9 of them are members of the leadership team of the church.
Edhe në të njëjtën kohë janë edhe udhëheqës familjeve biblike.
And at the same time they are home group leaders.
Kështu që janë duke futur këto elementet e librit.
So they're able to introduce elements from the book
në familjet biblike.
During their studies with their home groups.
Pjesa tjetër.
While the other part,
janë pjesëtar të kishës në Tiranë.
They are members of the church in Tirana.
Të cilët janë duan që të futen thellë në fjalën e Zotit.
Who want to go deep in the word of God.
Dhe janë plot pasion për fjalën.
And they are full of passion for the word.
Për sa i takon elementit intelektual, shumica prej ty, vetëm njëri prej tyre është me shkollë mesme.
When it comes to the intellectual element, for example, all of them have university degrees. Only one of them has high school diploma.
Dhe pjesa tjetër janë, shumica e tyre janë mjek, katër prej tyre janë mjek.
For example, part of the group are 4 doctors, medical doctors.
Kemi ekonomista.
We have economists in the group.
Në the group, specialist IT.
IT specialists, etc.
Kështu që duhet një grup i konsoliduar.
So it's a consolidated group.
Dhe me shumë me zore presin tonë.
And they look forward to Monday studies.
Dhe me vërtet është kthyer, le të themi, ky grup është kthyer në një jo vetëm që ne po studiojmë, me thënë drejtë, jo vetëm që po studiojmë librin.
And we are, to be honest, we're not only studying the book together.
But
this has helped us also get closer and stronger in our friendship with one another.
So it's working.
Good.
scriuar do ne kemi quajtur kemi hapur dhe një grup në WhatsApp.
And also we are able to communicate with one another through the WhatsApp, and we have established a group, so we're able to communicate.
Ne komunikojmë të gjithë, jemi të gjithë në...
And we are all online in a way, communicating.
Nëse ka një pyetje, e hedhim në WhatsApp edhe pastaj fillojmë dhe japim gjithë, japim ide
tyre. We have a question as we read, everyone, someone can post it in the group, and then we start giving ideas of what it would stand for.
Duhet t'i ka marrë një formë të mirë.
And it's really well-shaped in a way.
Dhe kemi vendosur që mbasi ta mbarojmë këtë libër.
And we've decided that once we complete the study of this book,
do presim sugjerimin tuaj për librin tjetër.
We will wait maybe for your suggestion for our next study group, study book.
Dhe nga ana tjetër duam që të fillojmë një tjetër grup.
And once this group finalizes reading The Unseen Realm,
duam të fillojmë një grup tjetër.
We will be starting another study group.
Grupi që do të përfundojë këtë Unseen Realm.
So the people that have already started The Unseen Realm,
do vazhdojnë librin e dytë.
They will continue with the second
book. Grupi tjetër do fillojë me këtë.
The first group will continue. We'll start again with the materials we've already prepared.
Aq më tepër që materialet tashmë do t'i kemi.
So much more that we will have ready available materials.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that sounds like a thriving group, and it's an intentional group, obviously. And boy, for everybody listening to this, whether you're in the US or outside the US, this is what you should be doing. I mean, honestly, what this group is doing is what you should be doing, you know, just sharing the content, getting people interested. Mm. You know, people have to be stimulated to, you know, just to get in, I hate to say it, but to get interested in their Bible. And in your case, I mean, you had all these questions, you were already interested, but you know, some Christians just, they need to be shown that there are things to think about here that are really important.
Mm.
And to sort of spark that interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm really happy that we could do this and connect and
yeah.
You know, you could be part of the 200th episode, but also, I mean, just apart from that, just to hear it, we will, you know, get me the information we talked about in email, and
yeah.
You know, we can get you some other things, and then we can continue the conversation about
yeah.
Not necessarily, well, the translation's already happening, but who to. You know, how to pay you and, you know, get that money to the church, and then you guys can handle it however you want, you know, how best to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Doctor. We'll follow yeah. up. And, you know, like you said, more Christians need to be kind of, I don't know, somehow prodded into doing this.
Yeah.
And it's really, I think, a shame that in places like the US and other countries where we have so much, we have so many resources, where this is so much more available, people just aren't interested. And I think in some way it's because they're sort of taught not to be through a variety of circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, I feel very strongly that we have to start breaking up those artificial walls or breaking them down, really, mm-hmm. and bringing the real Bible to people, because I've been a Christian.
I would agree with that, but when I think of the church, I don't think of the U.S.
That's true.
I mean, I have to work in English, so I'm stuck with that. But, you know, like with McLaught to do the translations and yeah. You know, this year we're going to try to produce, you know, discipleship material or something to keep that going. The church is a whole lot bigger than the West. And I'm not thinking that it's my mission in life to wake sleeping American Christians. It's wonderful to do that, and Unseen Realm does do that, but that's just not how I think about the church.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, that's good. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Again, I think people outside of our country are more open to this. Really do. I mean, I think this is proof of it, what we've seen here in Albania. Yeah. And as I think you mentioned in a recent podcast, you're doing translations in a lot of languages that you didn't expect to be doing.
I had no idea. Yeah,
Polish. I think you mentioned some others. So it's interesting. All of those ex-communist countries, where where people are much more open to seeing the scripture for what it is and what it says and not what they're told it says. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all. Those in your group that are just listening and you know, didn't verbally participate. Thank all of you for your dedication. It's just, like I said, I admire it. And this is pretty much exactly the kind of thing that, you know, I just want everybody who reads the book to do, you know, to multiply it, you know, get the content out.
Yeah.
You know, thank you very much.
Yeah, Dr. Heiser, really was a privilege for me to talk to you. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to use your book and to have permission to make a photocopy of the chapters, because the guys are working on the materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you again.
Yes.
Yep. You're welcome.
Real privilege, Dr. Heiser. And thank you for all that you do and for all the dedication that you've shown to this. It's really, you're a light to us all and a blessing. And thank you so much for that.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Well, there you go, Mike, Naked Bible around the world.
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, every one of those groups and ministries and just people in these places taking the content, I mean, it's remarkable, it's admirable, you know, every one of them. This is the kind of thing that when I wrote Unseen Realm anyway, that I was really hoping would happen. And then when the podcast, you know, sort of started becoming what it is, you know, with, you know, when you basically contacted me out of the blue and said, hey, this is kind of a dumb thing to stop doing your podcast. You know, when you talked me back into that, it's like, yep, this is kind of what we were hoping for as far as getting the content out and having it be, you know, meaningful and beneficial. So, yeah, this was a good one.
Yeah, I had no doubt, Mike, actually, because I knew the importance of this content. So, it actually doesn't surprise me and shock me. So I'm just glad.
You had a rat on my cage there. So that was a good thing.
Well, it's been fun. And hopefully we have no plans to stop. So.
Oh,
just
nope, not at all.
Yep. Just
so
expect.
We'll blink and then we'll have 300, you know, just there will be.
I know. And, you know, we're going to Israel this year, and we were thinking that maybe this would coincide with that trip, but it didn't. But we're going to have to do something special for 300, Mike. We're just going to have to do something. We're going to force ourselves, because that'll be, you know, three or four. That'll be what, maybe 4-5 years into it. So we're going to have to do something spectacular for 300. We're going to have to just force ourselves to do it.
Right. Where do you want to go?
maybe we'll go to Albania.
That's what I'm hearing and all that. I want to go.
Maybe we'll go. We'll do a world tour and just we'll interview these people live. Maybe something like that, or we'll have some big party and we'll have everybody come or something. And I don't know. Yeah. We need to figure something out, because we got to do something fun.
Okay, I'm not going to argue against it.
All right,
I could just hear the wheels turning already. So.
Absolutely. Well, we've got 100 episodes to come up with something. You know, we got a while, so we could do something. We could figure something out. But all right, Mike, well, it's been fun, and we appreciate you keep cranking out the content, and we're just going to keep chugging along.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the topical stuff, you know, the Q&As and whatnot. There's variety there. So, you know, and then you do enough of those, and it's like, okay, I'm in the mood for the book study now. So it's not getting old. It's not getting old at all.
Well, we appreciate everybody who's listened to us, and we just want to say, you know, heartfelt thank you, and God bless everybody out there who listens to our show and spreads the Naked Bible concepts to their church and their friends and family and wherever they may go. And Mike, hopefully 2018 and beyond, we're going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And so, you know, I just want to thank everybody for listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, visit www.nakedbibleblog.com. To learn more about Dr. Heiser's other websites and blogs, go to www.drmsh.com.